Hello, and welcome to Reddit on Reddit, the internet's auditory version of Reddit. I'm Nelson Allingham, joined by Michael Camber Campbell.
Hello, Nelson. How are you?
I'm pretty just normal.
Yep, just a standard Nelson evening.
A standard Nelson evening. Tired from working. Mm-hmm. It's been like 3 weeks now.
I know. Have you got used to the big working world yet, Nelson?
No, I'm sick of it. I don't know what all the fuss is about. It's pretty boring, takes up most of my life.
I'm sorry. I tried to covertly take a drink of something. I completely choked on it.
Yeah, that was the worst. That was not covertly done at all.
Yeah, imagine if this is someone's first episode they're listening to and it's already just so unprofessional.
No, it's fine. We'll edit this out.
Yeah, we don't even have good rapport.
Okay.
Let's start again. Well,
hello and welcome to it. Cambo, what'd you get up to this week?
Look, I feel like I've not been as busy as I am at the moment in like a long, long time, but all for completely boring reasons.
Oh, okay.
But what I did do is I checked out the movie Baby Driver.
Oh, it's good.
It was very, very good.
Yeah.
I got to attend the big Q&A event that they had with the director and the cast. I was filming the event. Now ask me, Nelson, you know that Edgar Wright's my favorite director.
Mm-hmm.
Ask me if I got to meet him.
Did you get to him? Yeah, no, I didn't think so.
they got them in and out real quick.
Yeah, exactly. Oh boy.
I did feel bad though. There was Edgar Wright, obviously the writer director, and then there was the two main cast members, Ansel Elgort.
Yeah,
that's his real name.
That's faked
and,
for sure.
Yeah, and Lily James.
That's normal. Yep,
that's
although two first names, that's a problem.
But all of the questions were very heavily skewed towards Edgar Wright, because
he's way more interesting.
it would appear like the cast were great and everything, but it would appear that most of the audience were like film students.
Right, yeah.
Like, that's the kind of people that were, like, attending. Or people like us that, like, interested in filmmaking. So, they, like, all the questions that were obviously skewed towards Edgar Wright, they had to try and make a bit broader.
Yeah, okay.
How, like, because it's got a lot of music in it, this film. They're like, how'd you do this with the music and it all synced up? And then they'd be like, yeah. And so, how did you go with the music in the film?
Yeah, right. Well, you should have politely just been like, hey, Ansel, Lily, do you have fun?
Yeah. I got a question for Ansel.
Yeah.
How much you get paid for the movie?
Yeah, exactly. Make it real personal. Yeah.
Do you make more than her?
Yeah. Oh, you don't know what each other made. Oh, well, no time like the present. That would be really awesome, actually.
I bet you guys Jamie Foxx got paid way more than both of you guys.
Yeah.
He probably got paid so much. He's not even in as much. He probably got paid so much more.
Yeah, exactly.
It's embarrassing.
I mean, if anything, I was hoping he would be here because I know who he is. And also, he doesn't have weird names.
I got a question for Ansel. Could you ask Edgar Wright if...
if you had to ask Edgar Wright anything in the world, what would it be? Okay. Anyway, that's pretty good, though. Pretty cool.
Yeah,
pretty cool experience.
Yes, definitely. Definitely, definitely, definitely. What about you, Nelson? How's the working world? Has it crushed your soul?
Yeah, pretty much.
Have you done any more meditation on a mountaintop or whatever it was that you're into now?
No, I'm still yet to use my other two sessions. I did think about it this weekend, but I was like, wait.
We got some positive mail about deprivation pods. Well, not positive, but they mentioned them.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Somebody said something about something we spoke about.
Yeah. Yes.
People are listening. Oh my god. Probably okay. So what I did do for work though is I do open for inspections.
Yep.
When people are wanting to rent out a property.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very interesting, some of the people you get. I'm gonna give a life pro tip to the listeners.
Yep.
Right now.
Yep.
Don't feel as though you are ever obliged to pretend like you're going to apply to a property that you don't want to rent. It's just so, it's so weird because you can tell when people don't really want to apply as well. So I just, how do I apply? And I'm like, oh, it's just on the back there. Okay, yep. Just so I just go there. Yep, yep. cool. All right. I'll do that then.
Do they make a bigger song and dance for people that will apply? Are they kind of like? Oh, it's about, well, I'll be applying then.
Yeah.
You will see an application coming through any moment now.
Yeah.
That's where I'm going off to.
No, see, even that, I'd be like, well, that's probably fake. You're never going to do it. It's the people that just are more genuinely interested in the place and, like, you know, asking just questions about that.
They're just a bit nosy and they want to check it out.
Yeah, just more, I don't know, they're just more genuine about, you know, why they're there. Because there's been some bad properties that, you know, properties that are a little bit more run down, then it's like, yeah, it's not for everyone.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you need to be have a certain circumstance in which this suits you, and that's fine. And I don't care either way whether you, like, I'm not there to try and convince you to, like, no, you better rent it.
Listen, but I need this.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But I don't know, I guess maybe that's the thing. Maybe people think that there's, like, commission or something that I get, and I don't know, but it's really weird. But yeah, so it's funny sort of, speaking to some people, and some people as well have obviously just never rented before, must have lived with their parents forever. But even some stuff that I would think is common sense, like somebody's asking me how much the bills are there, and I'm like,
oh, right.
Well, they kind of vary depending on how much you use. My, like, literal, like, you could not turn the lights on and you'd have zero, you know, like, you wouldn't be spending anywhere. Yeah. I don't know. What do you, you know, it just these things that surely that would be something that you understand. Some people ask, oh, is the bills included in the rent?
Right,
which sometimes, very super rarely, people ask so often, it makes me think that, oh, maybe it happens a lot more and I've just been on the occasion where it doesn't. But no, it's just... It never happens. I don't know why people ask. So many people, are bills included? No, they never include it. Never, ever. But yeah, so it's just sort of funny getting to meet these weird people.
Yeah, you're living on the other side of them now.
But do you know what I've been doing to get away from work, Kemba?
Yeah,
something that I've fallen in love with is the TV show Black Mirror.
Ah, yes.
You watch any of that?
I've seen the first season of Black Mirror.
Okay, yeah. Oh, there's only like three episodes or something.
Yeah. I'm at the start of a lot of really good TV.
Yeah, I know.
It's always episode three. I'm on the third episode of Stranger Things.
Yeah.
I'm on the third episode of House of Cards.
Wait, the first season of Stranger Things?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you'd seen all of that.
No.
Oh, wow.
Episode three of House of Cards. Episode one of Riverdale.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I don't
know. Do you know what? We need to just... put out like a public service announcement request, maybe. Just stop writing TV shows.
Yeah, let me catch up.
Well, let us catch up. Start again.
Yeah.
That's what we need to do. That's too much to do. But anyway, I do encourage a lot of listeners to, if you haven't seen Black Mirror, get onto Black Mirror. They're just single episodes, so you don't need to see... you know, you can watch whatever one from whatever series. Just really interesting, often futuristically done
stories. It often reminds me a bit of a modern day...
Twilight Zone.
Yeah,
definitely.
Each is its own contained story with a different cast and different characters. And this is more about the perils of, like, technology.
Yeah, probably. It probably does put a bit more emphasis on that.
I mean, do you know the idea of a Black Mirror?
Although the very first one is nothing to do with technology, but yes.
Yeah, I guess so. Do you know the idea of a Black Mirror?
It's a Black Mirror, so you can't see anything.
It's when you're on, like, your phone and you do it shut like that, and you see your reflection in your phone.
Yeah.
That is a Black Mirror.
Okay.
Hence, they're all kind of technology skewed, or almost technology skewed.
It is funny, then, that the first episode really doesn't... I mean, I guess technology's involved, but... Anyway, it's a good TV show. And y'all should watch it. And also sign the petition to get TV shows stop being made.
Yep, please. Also start that petition.
Start that petition. Get people to sign up. That'd be great. Thank you.
Once it's signed at 15,000, Nelson and I will sign.
Yeah. Exactly.
We don't want to sign something that doesn't look like something attraction.
I know. We don't want to be those dunces at the top, number one and two. No, thank you.
We're not at the forefront of anything.
Exactly. All right, Kemba. Let's move into Reddit on Reddit.
Okay.
This first one is just so childish, but I kind of thought it was pretty funny. So.
Okay.
It's by Anirudh Van B. Nisselroy.
Okay.
Yep. This was like a poster on a corkboard or something.
Yep.
And there was just this guy. He was probably a wog-looking guy.
Yep.
And a bit fatter.
Yep.
A lot of facial hair.
Uh-huh.
Not super attractive guy.
Right.
Anyway, it said, it had a caption next to this guy, and it said, "Always smell nice. Remember, the first hole you penetrate is her nostril." I feel like there was a bit of a inner Vin coming out there.
Maybe that's Vin's Reddit name. Yeah. We don't know.
Yeah, that's right. But I was thinking, you know what? Maybe I should take this advice.
It's I imagine that the audience that this is aiming for is a certain kind of gentleman.
Mm.
You know, the kind
ones
of
that smell bad.
Yeah. No, the kind of guy. Do you know the book The Game?
Yes.
The kind of guys that love The Game.
Yeah.
I imagine, like, oh, that's classic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's how you get chicks. Well,
what I'm trying to say is, it's for us, Nelson.
Yeah, exactly.
We love negging.
Yeah. You know, funny story about that is my friend, he, in high school, he was probably like slightly nerdier. Like, he is a pretty intelligent guy, I guess. Always really nice to people.
Uh-huh.
He was probably a bit more lanky, you know, kind of taller guy.
Yeah.
And didn't particularly get on with the ladies.
Right.
We sort of came good friends after high school. It's kind of weird. Like, uh-huh. During high school, it wasn't really that much. But after high school, we became close friends. And he started telling me about how he got onto the game.
Right, okay.
And he was doing these things. And by God, knock it all you want, but he really tried out at it and it worked.
Uh-huh.
He could pick up girls quite easily at the start. Because he's kind of telling me as he's like learning and going through it and like things that you should do.
Right.
And then it's funny because I thought this was kind of funny and then we'd be out of the club and he'd tell me like some, you know, little tricks or little like pick up things that you meant to do. And I'd be like, oh, those girls over there from what you told me would be the perfect example to like do that thing to.
Yep.
And he's like, oh yeah, you're right. But he'd still be like too nervous to do it. But then, you know, after a while, I just learned and he would tell me and I saw that he would just go out and obviously built up the confidence to do these things. And he also started going to the gym quite a lot as well.
Okay.
So he's now, and I think a personal trainer, right. But you know, a successful one,
unlike
somebody else on this show, Cambo.
And, I told you not to bring it up.
And, you know, so he's really buff and, he's now using this. Oh, I think he's got a long-term girlfriend now.
Right.
But you know, he was picking up girls all the time. I was like, "Oh my god, this thing actually works."
So what you're trying to say is the game, the mm-hmm. famous pickup book,
yeah,
ringing endorsement from this podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We're all about it.
We look how many girls I've got on the line from the game.
Yeah, it's true. People don't know this, but when we come in here, we need to clear out all the girls from the apartment.
Yeah.
Get out! We're doing a podcast! Get out!
Yeah. And that is the treat him mean, keep him keen thing that we've learned from the game. But yeah, I think it's really funny because there's obviously the negative side to some of these things, and I actually don't think the game does it that much. It's pretty honest guy type thing.
Uh-huh.
Or not honest guy necessarily, because you know you're using these tactics,
right?
But like you were saying, negging, that idea of essentially putting a woman down
so she feels bad about herself,
yeah, and then you kind of like have this weird comfort thing. I think there's a lot less than that I've seen other similar type
right
picking up women approaches.
Yep.
That's like,
we should write our own book.
Yeah
we have similar tactics.
Yeah.
Look at her for a while.
Yeah.
Then leave.
Yeah, exactly. Or get drunk enough to start a conversation.
Yeah.
Step one, order beer.
Talk to her about your interests very passionately.
Yeah, that's right. And hey, one in a thousand probably will have the same interests.
Or will be polite enough to listen.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Ours is more of a shotgun approach.
Yeah. Than,
like eventually somebody's got to take the bait.
We go on the law of averages.
Yeah. But you know, getting back to this, penetrating the nostrils.
Yep.
That's something that I don't think I do very well. Do you think this is why I don't have a girlfriend? I don't really.
You don't have a scent.
I don't have a scent.
Wow. Well, what would be your, like, what kind of a scent would you go for if you had a scent?
I'm wondering whether I go for just more like a musk. Like, right. Rather than actually buying a product because, you know, expensive.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
I just, like, get really sweaty each morning and not have a shower.
Yeah.
And then Matt's
that
just,
becomes your thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you reckon some girls would maybe go for that?
Some girls, yeah.
Well, again, shotgun approach. Yeah. do you have a smell, camera?
I have something that I wear all the time. It is Bulgari. I don't know. Someone brought it for me.
Okay.
They last forever. Like it's I've been using it for like 6 months.
Yeah, okay. Well,
it smells nice.
Yeah.
I know, like I couldn't tell you what it is, but I know the bottle.
All right.
So when I go into somewhere, I can see the bottle and pick it up. I'm like, this one, please.
Okay, yeah, nice. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Do you think there's a problem with smells? Because I feel like sometimes this particularly happens to older ladies.
Yep.
Where they've got the most profuse, floral-smelling perfume that they could find. And maybe at the time, that was like fashionable. I don't know. I feel like smells, the smells also go through a fashion phase.
Yeah. And when there's no color on television, you had to smell them.
And they're just, exactly. Smell-o-vision. Yeah. So, I don't know. I think maybe there's a problem with sticking to the one smell for your whole life.
Right, yeah. I just wear whatever people give me. I generally don't buy it. I just get it as gifts.
That's true.
And when I'm running out, I'll just drop heaps of hints.
Yeah.
Jeez, oh man. That new David Beckham cologne, you seen the after that?
Yeah.
I'll bring it up anyway.
Yeah.
It's my birthday next week.
Exactly. Anyway, smell more.
Yeah.
Is what we're saying. Not like smell more.
Yeah, just stink more.
Stink more.
Yeah.
That's what we want to say. Okay, Camber, I have another one here.
Okay.
This is by Mint Nose. Okay, so this is a bit of a weird one because the only reason why I'm bringing this one up is to kind of point out how I think we take some things for granted.
Okay.
Particularly in life in general, but this is more relating to, I'd say, pertaining to Australia.
Right. Okay.
Where we have some things, you know, like an obvious one is guns. We don't have any really guns here, so that's, you know.
I mean, we have guns here that is more heavily policed.
Yeah, police. So, anyway, this was one thing that I thought about. The comment was, you do not have to give your employer 2 weeks' notice. I have seen my company terminate two other employees as soon as they gave their 2 weeks' notice. I gave my 2 weeks' notice on Wednesday and on Friday was told they were terminating me and they were not intending on paying me for the remainder of the 2 weeks. Fortunately, I am able to start Monday with my new company. As a word of warning, if you have seen your employer terminate any employees as soon as they give notice, do not give notice. You are not legally required to give notice, and if the company does not give the courtesy of letting employees finish out their 2 weeks, they don't deserve the courtesy of a 2 weeks' notice. And then they've put in an edit because obviously I guess they had a lot of comments. To clarify, generally speaking, you should give 2 weeks' notice, but it is not required, and there are situations that you should not. Carefully judge for yourself. Pretty funny that they kind of backtrack a little bit, like, crap, I'm going to get a lot of people into trouble because they're not giving 2 weeks' notice. But no, the only reason I really wanted to bring this up, and maybe this is going to be a very quick talking point.
Right.
But it was just the fact that in Australia, you can definitely and easily get 2 weeks if you've said that if in your contract it says you need to give 2 weeks notice,
yeah,
you will definitely get those 2 weeks, even if the company says, okay, you can't work for the next 2 weeks. Yeah. You know, if it's like going to a competitor or whatever, and there's certain reasons. Even just the idea that people are super lazy in the last, you know,
oh, yeah,
2 weeks that they work. But in Australia, you will 100% get paid for that time.
Yeah. And even, I mean, obviously being fired and being made redundant are two different things.
Yeah.
But people even complain that it's so hard to get fired in Australia.
Yeah.
Because there are so many rules saying that you can't just terminate without due reason and process and without a kind of like a formal, not tribunal, but, you know, like a formal, order in which things need to happen, like warnings and written warnings and final warnings.
Exactly. Like a lot of steps to go through.
In fact, I remember at my old job, they were really trying to fire someone.
Yeah.
Like, really wanted to fire her.
Yeah.
And it's incredibly hard because she was just good enough.
Yeah.
That, you know, she would do something completely stupid and she'd be put on a warning, but the warning could only be 3 months, and it should be like 3 months and 4 days, and she'd do something stupid again. And like, the last one's run out now.
Yeah.
And she was always on, it was like kind of like a 3-strike policy. She was always on strike two.
Yeah.
But then one would go away and she'd get another one.
Yeah, exactly.
It took them almost a year and a half to be able to fire her.
Yeah, it's funny. And I guess in that sense, it is kind of a bad thing. But I think in general, especially you do hear, and only basing this off, you know, like American television, because that's what really how I know America.
Yeah, and I know the first three episodes of American television. So we've got it covered.
We've got it covered. But yeah, the idea that you can essentially get fired at any moment.
Yeah.
There's not too much in place, especially for what do you call it? Like minimum wage employees. Yeah. It might be different if you're salaried or something. I'm not too sure. But even in Australia, if you're minimum wage, just a clerk or whatever, you will have those rights and stuff. But yeah, I mean, I even remember one time we really desperately needed to get rid of somebody, and we even considered making their role redundant, which you have to, I think, legally make redundant for at least 3 months or something, or you can implement another position that's just named differently, but most of the responsibilities are the same, but you still need to kind of tread lightly as to not, you know, super like hold up a red flag saying showing what you're doing. It's just that I think that there's little things like this, you know, that I'm like, wow, it's so lucky that these things, you know, we should be grateful for these things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's more
still bloody hate my job though.
bloody jobs and stuff. Medicare is another one. Sorry, I just thought of something else. Yeah. Anyway. Good. Australia's good. Come over here, I say.
Yeah. And all of Australia will welcome you.
Yeah.
All of Australia loves immigrants.
We won't refer to you as boat people at all.
No. Look up Australian history. We've always been very welcoming and very accepting of white people.
Exactly. Yeah. Because obviously if you were here beforehand, that was also a problem.
Also, side note, and this is only relevant to our Australian listeners, which most of them are, so that's fine. Pauline Hanson, obviously, people say she's like Australia's Donald Trump at the moment. She has these radical ideas and stuff like that. Yeah. A big thing at the moment is Muslims. She wants a ban on Muslims, which is dumb for any number of reasons.
Lots of reasons, yeah.
But in the 90s, she was the head of what was known as the Asian invasion. She was saying, too many Asians are going to ruin our culture.
Yeah.
But now, actually, recently, she's been saying, they say, what cultures and what countries do you think are doing it right? And she loves Japan.
What?
Which is so weird to just do a 180 flip. Like, but you've been wrong before. Remember?
Exactly.
I don't know.
And it's not that she's distinguishing different Asian countries.
No.
She said Asian people, including every single Asian
also,
country.
Also, and we obviously don't get too political on this show that often.
Never.
But I will say that what I feel happens with people like Pauline Hanson or Donald Trump is people will agree on one of their policies, right?
Yeah.
So then they might be like, I agree with Donald Trump on on immigration.
Yeah.
But they tend to ignore all the other policies that are insane.
It's the worst.
It's just because you agree on one policy, look into the others because you might not like it. Anyway, that's the end of my... What was this about?
About penetrating nostrils or something. All right, Gabba, let's move into Today I Learned.
So now it's time for Today I Learned.
Today I Learned. Okay, this Today I Learned is by Reticulated Tampon. Jack Black used to put wires up his sleeves when he was a kid in hopes that other kids would notice them poking out and think that he was bionic. This thing is so funny. It's such a Jack Black thing to do, yeah. I reckon. Like, I could imagine him pulling this weird face whenever, like, a kid said something like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about, and, like, pretend to hide them.
And I'm a big fan of elaborate jokes that you have to spend more time setting up than
the
you
payoff.
Do.
The,
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever said this before, but me and one of my buddies, Stretch, we had we wanted to do this thing for a long time, which was we would wear matching rings all the time.
Yeah.
Until anyone asked us what the rings were for, in which point we'd take them off, put them in our pockets, and change the subject.
So
we would hope that one day two of our mutual friends would be like, have you ever noticed that they wear these rings, but you can't ask them about them? Like, we're not even there for the payoff of that joke.
Yeah, exactly.
We just hope it happens
afterwards. Yeah. Yeah. And they're kind of awkwardly put off by the conversation when they do originally every now. That is so brilliant, actually. Yeah, because I thought of the funny idea. It actually reminded me of time when I was younger and I was doing a magic trick, but I imagine Jack Black went through the same thing where he's got wires up his sleeve for the entire day.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's probably really annoying to deal with. He's probably holding his arm at a weird angle or something just so that they're there. Because I did the same thing when I was younger in primary school. I learned this magic trick, and the idea was that you had a, you shook empty boxes of matches.
Yeah.
And then you said there's a spirit in one of them. And you have a match box with a rubber band around your wrist attached. Yeah. And that's full of matches. So you shake the other two match boxes with one hand and then the last one with the other. And then they hear the noise. Oh, my God. I've just ruined magic.
But then... But then, of course, the thing is you then have to walk around with a matchbox on your arm.
Try not to shake my arm very hard. That was the hardest bit.
Right.
I spent an entire day... Because I could have just put it in my desk and like waited a little bit before the magic trick to do it. But from before I got to school, this was set up until the time that I did it, which I guarantee you was later on the day. Uh-huh. And then I still didn't even take it off after that because I still didn't want people to find out that that's what the trick was.
Nelson, this is the dedication you need to have if you want to make it in magic.
Yeah, well, and I did it. So I'm halfway there.
Exactly.
I got the dedication.
Nelson the Magnificent.
Except I've just told everyone my only trick. That is the problem. Actually, can I even remember, I would like to expand on this story.
Okay.
That, some people, just in the classroom, there was like, you know, old carpet, I guess, that we were all sitting on the floor with. And I guess there was like little bits of gravel kind of everywhere. And I picked up, when I picked up one of the box that made a sound.
Right.
There was like a little rock that flung out.
Okay.
And by the way, you obviously like open up the matchboxes each time first to show there's nothing in there.
Yeah.
And then... people at the end were like, oh, you had the rock was the, that's what made the noise. And I was like, no. And I remember, it was so funny, I totally regret doing this. And I've thought for years how I could have redone the trick to bamboozle my class afterwards, which I would tell you, but and so I was really annoyed because I was like, no, that's not how you do it. But I didn't want to do it again because I remember my dad at the time telling me like, oh, you know, try not to do the same trick twice because
Once people... is a trick, twice is a lesson. That is the magician's code.
Okay. I didn't know. He didn't say that. Oh, bloody idiot.
Is Dad, he even a magician?
That, didn't even know the saying. Well, he has disappeared for the rest of my life, so...
But when he does come back, oh boy, what a trick.
It's going to be the best trick ever.
Look, Nelson, but... I produced another family.
What? In just 16 years? Oh my God. Anyway, I had the idea afterwards, like I'm talking years after right, this happened.
It really stuck with you.
It totally stuck with me that what I should have done is shaken each box with the wrong hand. Right. So none of them made a sound. I was like, you've scared the spirit.
Right.
So then I shake one box and be like, somebody put their hand on that box and then do it on the second box and be like, all right, he must be in this one. And then use my other hand. It would have like changed the trick enough for them to be like, ooh.
Right.
And instead, now they think I'm a phony. He used some sort of magical rock. It was one rock and it made the sound of an entire matchbox shaking. Well, this is still angering me.
One of my favorite things is when, I mean, we don't often perform magic, but when you do perform magic and someone thinks they know how you've done it, but it's completely wrong.
Yeah.
Because their explanation is always way more complicated than what it is.
Yeah.
And me and a friend of mine, we performed magic for a talent show. And one of the tricks was that in the finale, there's a bunch of different packets, and whatever packet they choose, their card is sealed inside of the packet.
Yeah.
And it's actually a very easy trick to do. And we performed it we had to like qualify, so we performed it for all our workmates.
Mm.
And then and people were like fascinated about how we did it. And then this one girl, Michelle, she comes up to us and she goes, oh, it's a cute trick, but maybe don't leave the iron on next time.
What?
Like, what? She's like, I mean, obviously you'd open the packet and you'd put the card in and then you'd iron it back shut.
Wait, where was the iron?
Yeah, it was... she was in our team room, she thought that we had gone down at some point in the trick and put whatever card they chosen into the pack and then iron the pack back shut, which wouldn't work.
That would just... And then you just get all this melted plastic on the iron.
Exactly.
Check the iron.
But her way is so much more complicated than the way it's
and
done.
And how would you get away from everybody to run downstairs, iron it, and then... I've seen the trick. You do it in like a couple of minutes on stage. Yeah. This is some...
Okay. Do you want me to ruin the trick? Because it's so much easier than anyone thinks.
Okay, ruin it.
You get a razor and you cut the packet.
Yeah.
And the thing about sticky tape is that it's invisible.
Yeah.
And the thing about a packet of chips is it's pretty shiny.
Yeah.
And you can't see the sticky tape.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, exactly.
You just cut it with a razor and you sticky tape it back together and no one is looking for sticky tape for some stupid reason, even though if you think about it, if you really think about it, it's the only way it could be done and it's the most obvious thing in the world and literally no one has ever figured it out.
Dude, I really want all our listeners now to have, at some point in their life, have a magician do that trick. Because it's pretty impressive. It. Something in a packet of chips? Wow, impressive.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to very carefully study the packet, find the tape, go, here it is, and ruin that magician's career.
But here's what's good about that trick is, once the tape is on, sometimes even I can't find it.
Mm.
It just goes. Like, it's just gone.
Yeah,
it's
but invisible. You know it's there.
Somewhere,
I'm just saying. When a magician does it, you know, they're like, oh, inspect this packet. And you're like, okay.
All right.
and 7 minutes later, they're like, oh, I didn't think you were going to be this thorough. And like, I'm not done yet. I'm trying to find the
and
tape.
If you want the pro tip, is that everyone always checks the seal of the packet, so you do it right in the middle. Everyone always checks the seals. Everyone checks the sides and the bottoms. Just do it right down the middle of the packet.
Yeah, okay.
No one ever, for some reason, no one ever looks there.
Another tip, you've just... cut your looking time in half.
Why did I get so angry about that?
I don't know, but that's pretty funny. Okay, all right. I have another today. I learned Cambo. This is by Sweet Cupping Cakes.
Okay.
Today I learned that in 2012. JCPenney implemented a fair and square policy that did away with sales prices and coupons that fool customers and instead priced everything at what it's actually worth. Customers hated it, the CEO was fired and the deceptive pricing was quickly reinstated.
All right.
This makes me so annoyed at the human race in general. Yeah. So to elaborate maybe a little bit more, for those that are a little bit unclear, it was things like if you use the code word discount when you come into store, we'll give you, for items over $100, we'll give you 15% off or something like that.
Yep.
And variations on those sort of things. And so really you're a sucker if you walk into this store and you don't have anything because they don't ever intend to sell it for the higher price.
Yeah.
They always just want people to think that they're getting a super good deal on something.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate this so much. And I did experience it for myself not that long ago. I was selling a camera and I put it on Gumtree, which is like eBay in Australia, for those not in Australia. And I put it up for $380. And I even put not negotiable. Mm-hmm. I just like, that's how much I know I can get for it. It was actually sort of cheaper than most ones that were advertised. And I think in general, like, it was a pretty good price.
Yeah.
But I didn't care too much. So then, and I got some people always asking, oh, how much cheaper can you do it for? Like, kept saying, how much cheaper? Like, nope, sorry, that's it. I feel like I came up with some, like, good answers and stuff. It wasn't even out of the box. So it was, like, you know, good. It was good quality, essentially. Yeah. It hadn't been used. And still nothing. So then I was like, all right, screw this. I relisted the ad and put it as $410. I reckon the second person who contacted me said, oh, what's your best price? I said, oh, I can do $380, but that's it. And initially she said, oh, no, sorry, I can't do it until like I can't go past $350 or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, no worries. Because I was in no rush to sell this. Yeah. I didn't really care. And then probably 2 days later, she gets back to me like, oh, sorry, you must think I'm an idiot thinking that you sell it for $350. Are you still okay with $380? Is it still available? I was like, yeah, sure. Like, that's fine. But it's just that idea that people want to get a bargain.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, maybe I'm the same. Maybe I'm the same KB that I'm just like, oh, I can get a good discount off this. In fact, a good example of that is in if you've ever been to Thailand or Bali,
mm-hmm.
and you barter over everything. And in Thailand, I learned after a while that they have minimum prices for everything, you know, but they will obviously start much higher. And I even pushed this to the point where I remember there was like these handbags, and because I was going with a girlfriend at the time, she's looking at handbags, and you know, after you barter for a while, every store comes down to this one price. You know, it's like a mutually agreed across every store that handbags will go for this much, or maybe there's different types that go for different amounts, but anyway, that's like basically the standard. And I tested this so bad, and I feel really guilty about this to this day. So you're in a store, not looking at handbags, but there were some other Australians that came in.
Right.
And they were bartering over this handbag and got down to the price that I knew was the right price.
Yeah.
And then they asked us, hey, do you know if we can get it cheaper? And just to test whether it definitely was their lowest price, I said, oh, yeah, I've seen them cheaper elsewhere. So I think, you know, you might be able to get it. And the lady in the store like went absolutely nuts, and she's like, "No, no, no! You don't know what you're talking about. Don't know what you're talking about. You know this is
why did
like,
you do that?
Well, because I was like, I really want to know if that actually is their lowest price, or you know, because that proves it definitely. Mm. I would feel because you'd be like, okay, like definitely go to a lowest price.
Yeah.
But I did to make myself feel a little bit better. Go back to the Australians afterwards and be like, hey, just so you know, that is the lowest price you will get. You can go back in if you want. But then they were like, nah, it's fine, there's heaps around. I was like, oh, I feel worse now because that lady's gonna have a horrible day. But anyway,
yeah, you're a real prick when it comes to handbags. that's the lesson to take away there.
That's what the takeaway was.
I'm not a barterer. I can't barter.
I know, yeah. Like, see, I don't feel like I am normally anyway, but for some reason when you get to Thailand, it's like, you can't not. Yeah. You just, you instinctively get into this habit because everyone's sort of bartering, because people barter with you for items that you don't want.
Right.
And I think that's what kicks you off into getting into the habit of bartering, because, you know, somebody offered me just some just bullshit that I don't want, like a watch or whatever. And I'd be like, ah, oh, no, I'm not interested. And they'll be like, oh, how about this much, this much, this much? And okay, how you type in to the calculator how much you want to pay for it. I'm like, I don't want it, you know? So then you get this idea.
$0.
Yeah, exactly. So then you get this idea later on that, you know, okay, this is what happens, this is what right, I have to do when you do come across something that you want. But yeah, anyway.
Interesting.
My point is, what's my point?
You're a real prick when it comes to handbags.
Real prick. Oh, yeah, that's right. That was my point. No, I think what I'm getting at is that the honesty of prices should be rewarded.
Yes, I agree. Which is kind of why I like, I'm kind of a fan of the online store Kogan. They do all the electronics.
Oh, yep.
That is pretty down the line. They're like, oh, look, it's just how much it's worth.
We make it cheap. And
we don't have a store, so it's cheaper.
Yeah,
we make it cheap. You buy it cheap.
Yeah.
We make some profit.
Yeah, exactly. And even they did, I remember they did that ad where
they
advertised and they said, because of this ad, we're charging you extra for the products.
Exactly, yeah.
It's like, that's really good. Actually, Cards Against Humanity do some really interesting things every year. I actually saw on Reddit just recently.
Right.
But so 1 year, it's generally around the time of the Black Friday sales.
Yep.
The 1 year they doubled the price of the cards.
Okay.
And I think they still got like a record breaking like volume sold of these cards. Just to kind of point out how stupid Black Friday is.
Yeah.
And they also did, so the most recent one I saw, which I hadn't heard of before, was there was, I'm going to say live stream, I'm assuming that, but it was a digger, a big machine digger.
Yeah.
And you could pay, so long as people kept paying for the machine to dig, it would just dig this hole entirely. It was like money, I think they called it money pit or something like that. Yeah, just the idea that in Black Friday, people are just throwing away money.
Right, yeah.
So they said for every dollar, it's like 1.28 seconds longer for the thing to go. And it raised something like $90,000 or so, like a ridiculous amount of money. And so you could just watch this thing dig forever. But yeah, so there you go. Buy Cards Against Humanity and
buy it at the regular Kogan. Retail price.
And Kogan. Buy from those brands and nothing else.
Yes, we wholeheartedly endorse those things and the game. They're the three things that we endorse.
Yeah, that's true.
Really paints a picture about us, doesn't it?
And
cheap TVs, Cards Against Humanity, and the game.
Mm. Well, we're not really, you know, we're like these people. We're not trying to pretend like we're something that
that's
we're not.
That's true.
So, you know, it's who we are.
I just screamed about magic for about 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's true.
No running from that.
All right, Kemba, let's move on now to shower thoughts.
Okay.
Shower thoughts, shower thoughts.
This shower thought is by That Magic Trick.
Hey!
Oh my god, I can't believe that. I did not make that up. You could search that on Reddit. Okay. Gang violence going down is the opposite of gang violence going down.
Yep.
I didn't really have much more to add.
I don't know what to do with that, Nelson.
It's just funny. So,
it's a clever play on words.
And it was by That Magic Trick, and, you know, respect magic. So, okay, I have another one.
Okay.
Luckily, God. I think this is
okay, there was nothing.
Look, I'm just going to be honest. I think this shower thought segment is going to be real quick.
Yeah.
Let's just see.
Look, we got a lot of stuff to do tonight. That's fine.
Yeah. Okay, this is by Dylan Marriott. Shaving your head is the "you can't fire me because I quit" approach to male pattern baldness.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep.
Would you shave your head if you're going bald?
Yeah. Yep. I have shaved my head before.
You have, yeah.
For a couple of times. I shaved for a cure. Yeah. I wonder,
did you find it?
No.
Bloody waste time.
It wasn't, it wasn't on the scalp of my head.
Imagine that's the theory.
Yeah, exactly.
We found him! Oh, he's here!
Just somewhere, somewhere somebody has a cure on their head. some like scientist got drunk one night and tattooed it on a guy's head, and that's all he can remember. I don't know, I found the cure. It was just, I tattooed it on some guy. Yeah, that'd be so funny. But my dad isn't losing his hair. I'm just gonna get gray. That's my problem. Yeah. I'm gonna get gray.
Yeah.
How about you? What's your genetics like?
I think you've met my granddad. They say it's on your mother's side.
Oh right. Okay.
I feel like you've met my granddad on my mother's side. He's got long wild hair.
Okay. Oh no, but you've told me about the long wild hair.
He's got
hair.
Long wild hair. Ironically on the other side, bald. But I've got quite thick hair.
Yeah.
My hair's quite thick and matted, though my brother thinning hair. So I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
It's
that's
a real
right.
crapshoot.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't get how genetics works.
I think, I'm pretty sure that genetic thing of like, you get it from whoever's side. I
wife's
don't know
tail.
If that's true. Yeah. I reckon that's a lie.
Yeah.
But only because of things like, well, then shouldn't you and your brother's hair be exactly the same?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's if you line me and my brothers up, it's like a gradient scale.
Yeah.
And obviously, like, they get older, but my oldest brother has pretty thin hair.
Yeah.
My middle brother doesn't have thick hair like me, and you can see it going a little thin at the back, but nothing. And then
yeah.
I've got really thick hair.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It makes no sense.
Yeah, because you don't look like you're not that far behind your brothers, and your hair looks
super thick. No, I'm 3 years,
thick.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I just love the way how thick your hair is.
I'm just bragging about my hair now, but I don't even have like the, it's not even receding or anything.
Yeah,
It's bloody hair. But my dad is gray. So
you're going to get...
we all go gray, don't we?
Yeah, that's true, yeah. You're going to get all the babes in retirement homes.
Yeah. Look at that hair.
Oh, man, he's
that
so
Michael,
handsome with his hair.
That Michael Douglas-style thick hair.
Yeah, exactly. All right, I have another one, Campbell. This is by Heyditron. Heyditron. Kids born these days will never have a fair shot at internet usernames.
Yeah.
I mean, especially this guy. Heyditron. Yeah. You struggled to make that one up, buddy.
Yeah. I regret not having a better, like, internet username handle. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I'm satisfied with mine, which I think I've gone over before. Mm-hmm. It was very gamer heavy.
Yep.
But I often have to put I didn't put a number. I put a hyphen or an underscore.
Right.
Because often that works. And I hate putting a number at the end of it. I don't want to ruin my awesome username with a
for
number.
Some, I have the same handle on everything I use.
Yeah.
On Snapchat, Instagram, and whatnot. And I'm pretty happy on my YouTube channel. I'm pretty happy with it. Because this is Camber.
Yeah.
That's my thing for everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Except for my email, weirdly. Oh. I don't even know if it's available.
You should change it.
Yeah, I should.
It's good.
It's nice and simple.
Yeah, that's right. But yeah, I thought that was funny. Also, I just want to point out this Heyditron. He actually says more.
Okay.
So I'm going to read this again and read exactly what he said. Kids born these days will never have a fair shot at internet usernames. All the good ones were taken before they were born. He just explained the joke. I'm very sorry if you listen to this.
I didn't even realize.
But it's
that.
One of those things where it's like, you don't need to explain. Like, I get why it would be harder for people now to choose a username. You don't need to then say it's because because all the good ones are taken. You have to put numbers after it. Like, yeah, I get it. You've kind of ruined it now. That's why the first time I just left out that part. Anyway. All right.
It's the return of Nelson Allingham, grammar Nazi.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
It's probably not necessarily grammar. It's like, it's more like
sentence
a joke.
Structure, yeah.
Comedy Nazi. Yeah. okay, I have one last one, Kembe. This is by WizCorp. Since I got a cell phone, my knowledge of cereal ingredients has decreased dramatically. Did I say ingredients right? I think I said ingredients.
I got what you were saying.
Well, just in case you didn't.
Okay.
Since I got a cell phone,
yep.
My knowledge of cereal ingredients has decreased dramatically. Also, cell phone, mobile phone.
Yeah. Oh, I get
in
it.
In the real world.
I don't quite understand this.
It's because when you were younger, hopefully, unless you were an idiot,
right,
you would sit down with your cereal
and read the
box. Yeah. But then you go, oh, you got a mobile phone. Nobody's reading the cereal boxes anymore. Remember, the cereal boxes used to have fun stuff on them.
Yeah, well, there used to be mazes on the back of the
like
cereal.
Yeah, like mazes and stuff like that.
But he's talking about ingredients. I never read the ingredients on a cereal box.
How long did it take you to do the maze camp? They were normally really easy.
I am not an intelligent person.
You kept running into walls. Yeah. Maybe if I try again. It's because one of those trick walls.
I feel like if I was a kid reading the ingredients on a cereal package, it's all just chemicals. So I wouldn't know what any of it means.
Why? What cereals are you eating that's all chemicals?
You get like Cocoa Pops or something.
Wheat and stuff.
It's Cocoa Pops.
Oats. Hey, yeah, that's just like Coca-Cola. And yeah, sure, there's some chemicals, but I mean, some of that you'd have to understand, right?
Literally nothing.
I thought it was funny because it reminded me of a time when I was younger. And I was probably too young to participate in this, but my brothers used to get like multiple cereals and put it in the one bowl, right? So then at the table, breakfast table, they would have multiple cereal boxes around them.
And so many reading and
materials. So much reading material.
Yeah.
And they used to, my brothers were dicks basically to my sister. So they used to put the cereal boxes so they'd block her off.
Okay, right.
And then they'd kind of like duck a little bit down behind the cereal box and eat their cereal. And she'd be like, Mom, they're blocking me out. And my brother'd be like, I'm just reading what's on the box.
But now, isn't it sad that with the invention of smartphones, that won't happen anymore?
I know. You can't
block out your sister.
Your sisters. That's gosh.
You can block them on like Facebook Messenger.
that's what you do instead. Yeah.
Leave them out of a group chat.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, so maybe the invention of technology has brought families closer together because they can't physically block people out of that. So I
block people all the time on social media.
No, but I mean in real life. That's you can't true. Block people with cereal. Actually, maybe that'd be really cool, actually, to just introduce that. Just go to, like, if you go to a party and you're like, I don't really like everybody here, just bring along a Nutri-Grain box.
Put it on the bench, duck behind
just,
it. Yeah.
Just when somebody comes up that you don't want to talk to, you just
start reading it.
Lift up the Nutri-Grain box. Still maybe talk to somebody else. Bring the attention to the Nutri-Grain box, you know, so it's not too rude. It's just like, oh, I'm accidentally putting this in front of your face.
Anyway. So what you're saying is bring back social rejection.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Via cereal boxes.
No, I'm all for it.
Okay. Good, good, good. All right, Cambo. Let's move in now to Ask Reddit.
Ask Reddit.
This Ask Reddit is by Lucas Talbot. Talbot. What's a great date other than dinner and a movie? It's a pretty wholesome question here.
Yeah, it is. My girlfriend is a big fan of going bowling.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So every time we want to do something, we don't want to do that. She goes, let's go bowling.
Oh, God.
And the problem is I don't love bowling.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, you know, if it's going to make someone happy, I don't know. What should I do now?
I think go to your happy place when that happens.
Right.
I mean, like mentally.
Yeah,
just
yeah,
go
right.
to your happy place. Or get like really drunk. Yeah, it's one and the same, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, I didn't think about getting really drunk.
You just be like, okay, let's go bowling. You drive. That's how that starts.
And you bowl.
Exactly. I'll watch.
You bowl for me.
Yeah. No, I used to really like bowling. And I think the worst part is, see, I think couple date, when there's more than one couple.
Yep.
What do you call it? Double dates. That's the word I was looking for. Double date bowling is probably okay.
Yep.
I think that's fine. But when it's just you and your partner, it's such a problem. I've seen a lot of... I'm pretty sure I've said on this podcast before, I had a friend who worked at a bowling alley and we used to just play all the time, me and another friend, and we'd have like a lane each. And so it was like you got rid of all the boring parts of bowling, basically. Right. but and I used to see quite a lot is first dates at bowling. Yeah. Oh my God. Well, absolute worst.
The problem is, I suppose, is that you're never really doing it at the same time.
You're never doing it at the same time. It's so stupid. And then it's kind of, it's this awkward thing as well that you can totally see when, you know, one person goes up to bowl. Yep. Next person goes up to bowl. They do that maybe a couple more times and they're like, oh, we haven't really been
talking.
So then they kind of stop bowling. But then it's this weird thing like, well, we should keep bowling because that's why we're here. So then there's just not this conversation. And then it's more awkward when like, the guy is 10 times better than the girl. Actually, that was really sexist. It could be either.
Yeah.
Okay. If one person is better than the other. And just from experience, it's often the guy. But Nelson, that's, you know.
We've got a female doctor now. You can't be thinking like that.
Yeah. Anyway, that's even more awkward because it's like then one person doesn't really want to bowl.
Yeah.
And the other person's like, I feel awkward doing so well, but, you know, as if I'm going to stop.
My question to you, Nelson, then, and I've just thought of this, is what's a good date that isn't dinner and a movie?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Great question, in fact. I like the idea of, well, I don't know, it's close to a movie, but I've been to, I think, a comedy show before.
Right.
Theater. Yes, theater, but not a movie.
Right. Not the movie theater.
Because that is the question. No, because I think I just like the idea of... I mean, I think that's why dinner and a movie is such the classic. Is because you just want something to talk about. You do a movie first and then dinner. And then you've got something to talk about. And it's a little bit awkward. You've kind of just had... I think even just being around somebody for a period of time, you know, and not talking, obviously, both watching the film... It kind of like breaks you into being next to each other. Obviously, it's not as big a deal once you've known somebody for a long time. Because then it's like, oh, who cares? But I think for first dates in particular, it's just it's good. Yeah. It's a goodie.
I once took a girl on a date to the museum.
Oh.
Which actually, because you've literally always got things to talk about.
Yeah. That's interesting. I like that idea.
Yeah. Well,
you're welcome. All right. When I get a date, Camber, we'll be going straight to the museum.
Well, the problem I have is the classic dinner and a movie, I agree, I think is a good first date.
Mm.
But there's always that moment where you come out of the movie and they're like, what'd you think of it?
Mm.
And I have to decide whether or not to show them what I'm like.
Mm.
Or I'll be like, yeah, it was good.
Yeah, that's true. I sort of think sometimes you have to go like, you have to go, oh, yeah, what did you think about it? You know? Like, they get a turn.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of like you answer the question. They're a bit confused. Like, did he answer it? I don't know. I'll just give him my opinion.
Yeah.
And then you quickly agree with whatever they say.
Because you're not an idiot.
Exactly. I actually remember watching a TED Talk once.
Yeah.
And it was about...
Good first date.
We watched a TED Talk on YouTube and then discussed it afterwards. and it was about first dates. No, it was about the chemical reaction, essentially, of that love is just a chemical reaction, which is so brilliant. And I think is what I have this belief that, you know, anybody can fall in love with anybody.
Yep.
Soulmates is just the stupidest effing thing in the world, I think. Anyway.
I have a different theory.
Mm-hmm.
I have a theory that if you ask a certain series of questions, you will fall in love.
Oh,
more on that later.
But anyway, in this thing, it basically said if you had some form of excitement, it releases these things in your brain that then, you know, it makes you more likely to love the person that you're with.
Yeah.
But she gave an example of how this didn't really work for one of her colleagues who was studying the same thing. And he's like, oh, I'm going to try this. So, like, asked a girl out that he liked, went to a theme park on a roller coaster.
Uh-huh.
And then after, she was like, oh, my God, that was so amazing.
Right.
Blah, 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 blah. This is so good. And wasn't the guy operating it so handsome? It's like it worked, but just directed wrongly.
And I think it all comes down to experience as well. I remember this is years and years ago when I went to America.
Mm.
Part of it was like one of those tours that you do.
Yeah.
And there's people, this is 4 or 5 years ago now. And there's people that I still see online, and I'm so interested in everything they're doing, and I like everything they're doing, and they like everything I'm doing, because you meet these people. And the next day we went to Vegas together, and we partied on a rooftop. Then after that, we went to the Grand Canyon, and we went in a helicopter together. And then we went whitewater rafting the next day after that. And you go through all these incredible life, like changing experiences that quickly with these people that you just bond with them so strongly.
Exactly.
And I think it's the same. So go skydiving for first date.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. That's good. All right, I'll do that.
Yeah.
We'll go skydiving, land at a museum.
And then watch a TED Talk.
And then watch a TED Talk. Already. Oh, there was only one. Okay, I've got another ask ready. Feel like we've been on that one for a while. Okay, this is by Bepsef. You are killed, and death lets you choose a game to challenge him at for another chance at life. What game do you choose?
Oh, the board game Monopoly.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Don't answer that on this podcast.
Obviously, Monopoly. But perhaps a good strategy regardless. You just want something that's complete chance.
Right.
Because coin toss. You know, it's like, what?
Like a coin toss.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Maybe you could just do that. Coin toss.
Because obviously the devil is going to be quite,
knowledgeable, intelligent.
And tricky.
And tricky.
That's his thing. He's known
Isn't
to trick.
Satan tricky? I don't know about death. I've never heard of this argument with death.
That's true. Yeah. No. Yeah. He's not really tricky, is he?
Yeah. I still imagine he's been around for a while, so maybe pretty knowledgeable. He's wise.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So not a game of wisdom. That'd be bad. I was thinking maybe tic-tac-toe. Right.
Okay. Right.
Because that game ends in a draw 99% of the time.
Uh-huh.
The only time when it doesn't is when you're with a 3-year-old and when somebody loses concentration for just 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking, if this is dependent on my life, I'm going to be paying so much attention.
Right.
And we might play like 100 games of tic-tac-toe. Draw. Okay, swap sides. Draw again. Eventually, he's more likely to slip up than I am. Like, we've both got an eternity, I suppose, at this moment. We can keep playing for as long as you want, buddy. You like these draws, huh? You got other people you need to reap? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry this is taking so long for you. That's what I reckon.
But then, couldn't he just kill you because he's like, is a draw... A draw is not a win. So he might be like, I've got people to reap. You're dead. Off I go.
No, I would say, obviously, a tie is just you replay until... Right. It's got to be the way.
You would establish with death the rules beforehand.
Obviously.
Ironclad.
He seems like a pretty reasonable guy.
He's not a trickster like that devil.
Well, couldn't it be the same in Monopoly? You know, if you get, if neither of you get a Monopoly for one and you just get the same amount of, you know, basically money, that game just goes on forever.
That's what I'm saying. At least I'm not dead for a long time.
Well, I don't know, Canva, because that could be considered hell. You have to play this never-ending game of Monopoly.
In many ways, it is, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we love Monopoly. Yeah. Don't get us wrong. Yeah. Oh, God.
We're in the pocket of the Parker Brothers or whoever makes that board game.
Yeah, I think so. Bye. They do board games. And also, Humanity, Cards Against Humanity.
Yep.
Them too.
And Neil Strauss, or whoever wrote the game.
Yeah, that guy. Right, so solid strategies, Monopoly and tic-tac-toe. What's your strategy?
Yes.
Right in. What game are you really good at that you could beat death at?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's going to be something to do with, you know, his physicality. Like, is he just a skeleton?
Yeah, in a cloak.
Mm. It's got to be something.
Strip poker. He's only got one cloak to take off.
That'd be a good one.
Yeah.
It'd be annoying if you died by, like, drowning, skinny dipping.
It's the only clause. Yeah. You die skinny dipping, don't do tic-tac-toe.
Then do tic-tac-toe and Monopoly. But then you're playing Monopoly and tic-tac-toe potentially forever naked. That sucks.
Could be fun. You never know.
Could be fun. All righty, Camber. Well... Now it's time for, as you alluded to, our next question. Yeah. Oh, except I didn't write down what question number we're up to. I think this might be 11.
Let me do some research for you, Nelson. By which I mean open up the podcast app and find out what last week's was.
Okay. Podcast app? What's that? Could you maybe subscribe to our podcast on that podcast app?
You could rate and subscribe.
Really? Wow, that sounds enlightening. I'm going to do that.
Keep padding.
And
it's question 11.
Okay, this is question 11 of Getting to Love Us. So for those of you who don't know, we did allude to it before, but basically some scientist guy came up with these series of questions that if you talk with ask your partner these questions, you'll eventually fall in love with each other. Yeah. Something like that.
So you, the listener, have been falling in love with us for the past 10 weeks. You've also been listening to Nelson and I fall in love with each other, I guess.
Yep. It's pretty weird. Okay, now this is a bit of a weird one today. Oh, God.
Well, you said you said to me the question is quite intense.
Yeah, it's sort of intense. Maybe intense isn't the right word. It's just a bit strange. Okay. Take 4 minutes and tell your partner your life story in as much detail as possible.
Okay.
I'm going to say you don't have to go for 4 minutes.
No.
Okay, we're going to go for four minutes.
Yeah, I'll start a clock. Jesus. I imagine you're going first.
What? All right.
Are you ready, Nelson? And start.
Okay, so
where were you born?
Born in 1989.
Yep.
And at Monash Hospital.
Okay.
Was where all my siblings were born too. I'm one of four. Okay. One of four siblings. Yeah, okay. I'm the youngest, in fact.
Go on.
I have I've got still feels like 4 minutes.
Yeah. You're almost at 3.5.
I have two older brothers, one older sister.
Where'd you grow up?
We grew up in Ferntree Gully. Mm-hmm. My parents still live there.
Okay.
Funnily enough. I don't know how to describe my life. It's so weird. Okay, so then I went to a primary school. Actually went to a Catholic primary school.
Yep.
I don't know whether you knew that. Something interesting.
You're almost one third of the way through.
And I've done...
And you're not one third of the way through your life.
Okay. No, I feel like from primary school, I was going to go to high school. That jumps What else do I say in primary school? I had a friend, Alex Lawaddy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then he left primary school.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, this is pretty sad. I was a friend. And he came back. Okay. And then he left again.
Yeah.
Yep. And then I also went to high school.
Yep.
After that, I went to Glen Waverley Secondary College.
Answer me this.
Mm-hmm.
Are you halfway through your life at the moment?
I don't know.
Because you're halfway through your time.
Oh, Jesus. What? No, I've still got... It's only a minute 30. 4 minutes.
Oh, it's 4 minutes. Oh, God. It's long.
I know. Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay. I really should have thought about this beforehand. Okay. I went to high school, Glen Waverley Secondary College.
Yep.
Through my high school years...
What was your best subject?
I was... I liked kind of drama, media stuff.
Yep.
I feel like it's very reflective of what I am,
what
I currently am doing.
Yeah. What was your worst subject?
Probably maths,
maybe.
Although I did enroll in like what we called veggie maths, which was just super easy maths.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't that dumb, but it felt good being the smartest kid in that class.
What was the best thing about your high school?
It was probably, I don't know, just the friends I made, I guess.
What was the worst thing about your high school?
Probably the worst thing was probably the years actually that I had a girlfriend, and then it just kind of really ruined that year. It was like year 11 kind of my... high school life, and I got in fights with her ex-boyfriend and stuff, and I just didn't really enjoy that period of my life. At the time, I thought I was like, you know, super in love.
Name of first girlfriend?
Jess.
Jess, okay.
Actually, I don't know whether she was the first. I think maybe Jade or Debbie was the first. Okay. So many, I can't even keep up.
Leaving high school, what did you do?
I did personal training course. Yep. Canberra. And because I quit high school...
Uh-huh.
Before year 12 ended, because I was like, I don't need this anymore. And then
now that Jess is gone,
exactly, yeah. And then I went to I did personal training course, and then I didn't end up really doing that. And then I started my career at the cinema.
Yep.
and I really enjoyed that. Worked there in Knox Cinema for 5 years.
Yep.
Then I became manager.
Who'd you meet there?
Just some idiot that I can't even really remember his name, but
also me.
It's like Cambo. and then, oh my God, I'm coming up to 4 minutes. I thought that the school thing would be okay. Anyway, and then I became a manager, and then I went to a
Stop.
Assistant site manager, and then
no, there you go.
Oh, God damn,
that is your life, all of it. Nothing else has happened.
Your questions were good. They started thank getting you. Me on a roll.
Well, thank you.
But then that was like halfway through the time. Well, it's pretty close to the end of my life there. Anyway, it's a bit. Is it depressing that my life revolves around like education? And then work.
One workplace.
And it's kind of like, I don't really have anything else in between there.
I feel like now people have a snapshot of your life growing up.
Okay. Yep. That's good.
Yeah.
I really thought I could do better. So you've got the preparation. Damn it. You're meant to answer the questions first so I can think about what to say.
Oh, sorry.
All right. Anyway. All right.
You
ready? Spaghetti. Okay.
Okay. I was born in Dandenong Hospital.
Okay.
In 1990, October 7th, 1990,
oh.
I grew up in a very small town called Menzies Creek on a little dirt road called Old Menzies Creek Road.
Okay.
My best friend lived two doors down. His name was also Michael.
What? Crazy.
We used to dress up as Batman and Robin. Between,
who was Robin?
I was Robin, actually. Even though I was older and taller, it made no sense.
Still sour about it. It's yep. fine.
I once saved his life. At least that's what I claimed, because he is desperately allergic to bull ants. Okay. He fell into a nest of bull ants.
A nest.
A nest of bull ants. I got the adults. Therefore, I saved his life. That's what I claimed. Between okay. the two of
you
us.
You left him dying from bull ants. Yes, and got there. Yeah. You didn't like drag him out of the pit or anything.
The only time Robin ever saved Batman. We were dressed up at the time. Between the two of our houses was someone named Mark. Mark is someone I still see today, and we still work together on comedy. Because in our row of houses, there was three people that all wanted to be filmmakers and animators. That's just how it goes. I used to want to be an animator when I was a kid, Nelson.
Yeah.
I used to draw flip cartoons on Post-it notes. I used to do flash animations when I was young.
Oh.
I used to do clay animations. And my favorite toy set was the Lego Movie Maker toy set with a little Lego Steven Spielberg.
Okay.
I went to Menzies Creek Primary School. It had 150 students in it.
Yeah.
I was the house captain of the yellow house at school, at primary school. Went to St. Joseph's College in Furniture Gully, which is a Christian school.
Yeah.
It wasn't very good. I didn't really like it very much, but I made some good friends.
Do you know I almost went to St. Joseph's?
Did you really?
Sorry, this is my fault. Let's keep going.
It's not your life, Nelson. It wasn't a very good school because they had no art funding at all. That being said, I was probably best at media and English.
Mm.
And like you, I was probably worst at math.
Yeah.
Left high school in like went all the way through high school, and then I went and did like a bunch of weird stuff that I don't have any relevance for, like a business course.
Right.
I don't know why. Started working in the same cinema as you.
Yep.
I worked there for a long, long time, like eight years almost. I worked in that same place. I met a lot of people that we still see all the time. I started a videography company. I filmed weddings for a little while. Yeah. I was an extra in movies and TV for a while.
Yeah.
That was a weird...
Oh, my God. I totally forgot my whole...
Oh, yeah. You're an...
Disco business phase and modeling phase. Anyway, we've spoken about that before on the show.
I don't know if we have. We've alluded to the story. Yeah.
Okay. So, keep going. Again, your 4 minutes. You've gone too fast now. You're at 2:50. You've still got a minute 10.
Jeez, I don't know. Well, what do you want to know about me?
I don't know. I'm sort of sick of hearing about you.
Yeah.
Okay. So what, any other jobs in that you did aside from
the cinema job? I did data entry for a survey company that surveyed hospitals.
Ooh.
Okay, the most complained about thing in all the hospitals at all around Victoria was the food.
First girlfriend?
Her name was Jess. I dated her for 2.5 years.
We had both Jesses.
Yep.
Actually, I lied about mine.
No, anyway. I lie.
Ah, okay.
That was my second girlfriend.
Yeah, see, that's what I thought. Yeah,
my first girlfriend was Fiona.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah. How hot was she on a scale of 1 to 10?
At the time, mate, she was a bloody 10. But I was about 15 years old. So I don't know.
You had no idea of scale back then.
Currently work in social media, make films. We won a film competition not long ago. Made another film a couple months ago. We hopefully writing a TV show.
Life goals.
Life goals.
Last 10 seconds.
Life goals is to make that TV show. Okay. Or a TV show of some description.
Something that doesn't suck.
Is 4 minutes.
Whoa, 4 minutes time. Yeah, see, you got so much more in there. Yeah. Man, I was just panicking. I was in panic mode. That was good. That's good, Cambo. I feel like I love you just a little bit more today.
Well, thank you.
I don't know why.
It's thank
just
you. It's probably the claymation that you know that I used to do.
Yeah. I was like, man, you have to be a really great guy to do claymation.
No murderer has ever done claymation.
Exactly.
And that's a fact.
All right, Kembo. Well, now we've got our very last segment called Ask Me Anything.
Yes.
Now, last week we had one from Amanda.
Yes, correct.
But there was two questions in one, so yep. We're going to do the second one.
Yes.
And
as soon as I find it, I will get it up. There we go. Okay, so obviously last week she asked, what animal would you bring back?
Yep.
I don't remember what our answers are because I don't remember anything on the show ever.
Yeah.
But
we said Dodo.
That's right. Okay, since it's related, if you could choose one dinosaur, which one? I'd go with the Stegosaurus. Their back plates are cool. My reserve dinosaur, in case I couldn't get the Stegosaurus. I like that she's even prepared.
Yeah.
Like this scientist goes, what dinosaur do you want? Stegosaurus. We're out of Stegosaurus. What else do you want?
Exactly. Oh, man, that's the only one we can't make. What's your second choice? Don't worry, I've got one.
Is a demo...
oh, it's one of those really long, yeah. Annoying
no,
ones.
It's not long. I just mumbled in my mouth.
Mumbled in your mouth? Yeah, is that a thing? You mumbled.
Demet... it's not even a hard word. Dimetrodon, because the sail thing is cool.
Dimetrodon, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Because the... What sail? Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know which one she's talking about. Yeah. Okay, well, did you have any thoughts about this?
Yeah, I think the underrated dinosaur, mm-hmm. the one that I would bring back, because obviously people are like, I'd bring back a T-Rex. It's like, that's stupid. Don't do
that. Yeah, they would kill you.
Yeah.
Taste really good, though.
No, it's true. Actually, I didn't think about the taste. I would bring back the Triceratops.
Yeah, okay.
Because I know that they're herbivores,
mm-hmm.
but also I feel like you could ride them around. They seem like dinosaurs you could ride around.
Okay, yeah.
They've got the fun horns.
That sucks because that's exactly what I was thinking. Not necessarily that one, but I was like, I want a dinosaur that I can ride around.
Oh, right, okay.
That's pretty much, like, I'm thinking... We use dinosaurs like horses.
Yeah. We're thinking the same. Yeah, it's good.
Actually, no, I've decided. This is the one that I want. Except I can't remember the name of it. I don't think. It's the one with the really long necks. What's that one?
A brontosaurus?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think that sounds right. Brontosaurus. I don't know. I just made that. That's definitely not right. Brontosaurus. Anyway. Long neck dinosaur.
Long neckosaur.
Because... When watching Flintstones as growing up, he slides down the neck. And that's pretty much the reason why.
So you want to be working in a pit, hear the little blowhorn go whoop whoop, and then slide down the neck of the dinosaur into your
while yelling yabba dabba doo. Yeah.
That's fair enough. I can't fault you.
I think that's basically it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would think that maybe. Just a certain breed of dinosaur that we could maybe farm, you know, and eat, basically.
Yeah. All right.
I like different types of meat. I mean, you know, be nice. That's all I'm saying.
No, I'm all for it, Nelson.
I know you're judging me. I'm trying to kill dinosaurs that are already dead. Anyway, we have another question here.
Yes.
From Zach. Zach said, hey, guys.
Hey.
Actually said, hi, guys. I even lied. Already in the first two words.
Twisting his words to suit your narrative, Nelson.
Now, Zach goes on to talk about something we spoke about maybe two episodes ago, I think.
Yeah.
And it was about the capture system. Mm-hmm. And you're not sure whether to select the sign or the pole or the sign and the pole for a road sign.
Right.
Basically, go listen to the episode if you're still confused.
Right.
He says, the pole is a part of the sign. Disagree. In the same way your arm is a part of your body. If you remove the sign, it becomes a pole. If you remove your arm, it becomes just an arm.
Mm-hmm.
So I find this interesting, right? Yeah. Because I feel like Zach has unintentionally contradicted himself.
That's what I thought as well.
Because he's saying, like, I actually agree with him that the pole and the sign, I think you group that as that is the road sign.
Right.
But he says, yeah, if you take the sign off the pole, well, that means then the pole sign is just the pole. But then that means the sign is still the sign.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
That's what throws me off.
Yeah. Explain yourself,
you
Zach.
You even said once you take the sign off the pole.
Yeah.
If you remove the sign, you've called the sign a sign. Anyway, but
our question is, did you mean that? And if you didn't, please write in and
please
clarify.
Please clarify. No, because I think that the pole and the sign, because it's a road sign, so maybe the sign is just a sign unless it has a pole.
This is not the question he was asking.
And then it's a road sign. But then think about it, because what is a sign that doesn't have a pole? It's just laying on the ground. Nothing. Nobody can see that sign.
It's still a sign, though, physically. You go, hey, that sign's on the ground.
It's not a road sign, though. It's just a face-down sign is what you'd call that.
Right.
Anyway. Okay. That was his question is. Also, when was the last time you tried to do a flip?
Not in a long, long time. I used to do flips all the time.
Yeah.
In fact, you may remember earlier I mentioned that I had a best friend I grew up with also named Michael.
Yep. The infamous Michael.
I have uneven
Batman,
front teeth.
Batman, I like to call him.
Batman. I have uneven front teeth here.
Right.
I got chip in one of my teeth.
Can confirm.
Can confirm. That is from doing flips with my best friend, but not how you think.
Right.
We were on a trampoline doing flips and boxing.
Okay, I like the sound of this.
Doing flips, punching each other, got punched in the mouth.
Yeah. Do you know, when I was growing up, I feel like I was so much more afraid of doing those sort of things.
Oh, no, we used to jump out of trees and throw axes, and we were weird kids.
Yeah. No, I think that some of that stuff is normal. I was just always like a scaredy cat little kid.
I don't know if throwing axes was normal.
I'd like to throw some axes. I think the last time I did a flip, I don't know. I can't really remember exactly. I don't document each time I try to do a flip, but I do remember when I was younger and doing flips into my friend's pool.
Yep.
And one time it kind of put me off again. See, this is the scaredy cat Nelson coming out. I went to do a flip and I felt the edge of the pool brush my hair. Like I had just jumped in far enough.
Right.
Because if I hadn't have, I would have very easily cracked my head open. Because it was like a fast flip sort of thing. I definitely would have, I don't know. And that like kind of freaked me out. And I remember I got out of the pool and thinking like, oh, that was close. And then my friend's mom was even like, wow, that you got really close. Like, be careful. I was like, yeah, I know. And I don't think I did one ever again after that. Huh. I was like just so paranoid because I definitely would have like died from that pretty much.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I used to just flip on our concrete veranda.
Yeah, yeah. It's weird. Just trying like, I don't know what's wrong with it. I have just done flips before in like, you know, just standing trying to do them. But I don't know why. Why do people do this?
I don't know.
It was a common enough thing for Zach to ask. Yeah.
Also, Zach, when was the last time you did a flip?
When did you flip someone off? That's what I want to know.
Oh, probably a couple of days ago in my car.
Yeah. Yeah. That's nice. It was me. I was in the passenger seat. Anyway, that's it, Gambe, for another episode. Geez. Can you believe it?
I can.
Okay, yeah, so can I, really, when I think about it.
These are all roughly the same length,
yep.
The same time of the week.
Yep.
I can believe it.
That's what we do. Alrighty, well, if you would like to write into us, you can do so at Reddit Podcast, readitpodcast@gmail.com.
Yes.
You can also reach us at Facebook, at Twitter, and our subreddit. It's all readit podcast. And
while you're at it, try MySpace.
Try.
We might be on there.
Are we there?
What's our profile?
Does MySpace
song?
Still exist? Get back to us on that.
Also, what was your MySpace profile song? I'm interested. Yeah. So funny. Who was in your top five?
Yeah. Oh, it's so weird. Anyway, thanks for listening. Wait, what was it? Oh, no. Like and subscribe.
Yeah, sorry. I took us on a weird MySpace bent.
Like and subscribe. And Thanks for listening, everybody.
All right, bye.
We will read you later. We'll be right back.